A Free Presbyterian minister has said that God is using ISIS and homosexuality to punish Europe for its wickedness. The Reverend Ian Brown from the Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church in Belfast made the comments in a sermon in the wake of the Irish Bakery verdict last week. Have a listen to this.
And you know what? That's why the dark spectre of ISIS is closing in on us today from the east, and homosexuality closing in from the west, including ourselves as part of the west. God is saying something through this. He is shaking the nations. This is his method through history, and he is shaking his church. He shakes us up to send us back to himself.
The Reverend Brown is with us this morning. Reverend Brown, good morning to you.
Hello, hi Stephen.
Good morning. So you speak about ISIS, terrorists who kill people, in the same breath as homosexuals, do you?
Well, I knew that comparison would be drawn, but that's not exactly the way I was phrasing it. And you played a clip, and by the way, I think I'm got to be due royalties from you guys. This is the second sermon of mine that you've played. And last time, a few times. This time, maybe you'll play it a few times again, and, you know, maybe the pennies will start clinking into my little money box here. I don't know. But setting that aside, the setting for the message was last Wednesday in our prayer meeting and Bible study. And that was at the Martyrs Church. So I was addressing specifically a largely Christian audience. I had received requests before I went to the meeting from others' friends to post what I was going to say on sermon audio. And that's your usual channel for getting the message out. So we did. And then Kevin Mullen, Londonderry Sentinel, got all over it and obviously put the clip. And it's got down to you and the BBC.
Well, let's not worry who it's hard's got the people. Let's address the issue, Reverend Brown. Do you in any way link ISIS to homosexuals?
Well, let's put it like this. We all know what ISIS is doing over there. We've kept, before I'd go to bed each night, I'd get into RN News and check again. To my dismay and disgust, what ISIS is doing in the Middle East, both rampaging in Syria and also in Iraq. And one thing I can assure you of, and maybe this will settle you in terms of the connection here, whenever I hear ISIS having taken people that they accuse of homosexuality, whether or not guilty, I don't know. Nobody knows. But on trumped-up charges, possibly, but they're alleging they're homosexual, take them to the top of the building, throw them off that building, and when the body, quite limp and almost lifeless, hits the ground, then we've got the paying mob closing in, killing that person.
Reverend Brown, that's not what I'm...
That's
not what we're talking about here. You were talking in your sermon about threats. You talked about ISIS closing in on us from one side and homosexuality closing in from the other. Now, just help me explain, and I'm trying to give you room to do so here, Ian. Just help me explain why you talk in the same breath, in the same sentence, about ISIS and homosexuality. Why do you do that? What parallel do you draw?
The parallel we were drawing was simply this. In the light of the ISIS fallout, which is a localised case, we know, but in the broader picture, and we were trying to get the broader picture. So all the events that are happening in our world today, I was telling her people, the church, now this was a church meeting, the church needs to ask some penetrating questions. And we need to have a long, hard look at ourselves. And what we were asking was, what are the key threats to Christianity in the world today? What are the key threats to civilization in the world today? And in the light of these, where are we as the Church of Christ in the world today getting it wrong and going wrong?
And I'll get into all of that with you, but I just want you to nail this for me so that no one can misquote you, so that there is no ambiguity. Do you draw any link between ISIS and homosexuals?
Well, I've just said that ISIS is a total abomination in my eyes. What they're doing is absolutely reprehensible. I hate to hear the stories that they've thrown homosexuals off buildings. I have no time for that whatsoever. In fact, they're persecuting Christians, as we know.
Sure. No, I get that. But the question, Ian, the question is, do you draw any link? Do you, just please say yes or no, do you draw any link between ISIS and homosexuals?
Well, I've created a clear divergence in what I've said. ISIS is against homosexuality to the point that they are barbarically murdering them.
The threat as you perceive it, the threat, you, in fact, let's use your words, the dark spectre, as you describe it, of ISIS and homosexuality. Now, what is the dark spectre of homosexuality, Reverend Brown? What is it?
Right, what I'm saying is God is jolting us in the church, shaking us, waking up his church at this time, because we look back in history, the church today is not what it used to be. It doesn't have the influential voice that once it had, is not riding the crest of a wave of revival blessing, as in the great awakenings of the past, the revivals of the past. We are, let's face it, and we're clear in admitting this, pretty powerless at this moment in time.
There are forces
aligned against us. And that was the issue that we were working our way through using the book of Habakkuk. Because Habakkuk was asking in his day, there is violence, there's oppression, there's immorality. We go to the courts, we don't get redress. There's no justice flowing. And he asked the question that everybody today is asking. Why is this happening? Why do we live in a world that seems to be in chaos?
There are children that go to your church as well, aren't there?
There are. Sorry, missed that, Stephen.
There are children that go to your church as well, aren't they?
There would be children on a Sunday. This was a Wednesday night.
Okay, so this
there
was
an... No children on
okay,
a Wednesday night.
Okay, okay. So this sermon was given on a Wednesday night. Let's just listen to some more of it. As you told the gathering in your church that there is an army of sodomites who are on the march.
That's in the east. In the west. Do you know what army's on the march? It's the sodomites. I'm not saying that they all view themselves as blitzkrieg foot soldiers, but I'll tell you what. The liberal elite are only too happy to use them. Fund their causes, push their rights, promote their aims. And today in our Western world, they are sweeping through the states in America, compelling the states to capitulate and legislate in favor of same-sex marriage, and one state is falling like the next, like a row of dominoes all going down, and they're being supported right up to the highest powers there in the White House, Barack Obama. He's complicit, as many others are, in all of this.
A blitzkrieg of foot soldiers, Reverend Brown.
Yes, and you heard the qualification that I put in there, but I'm glad that you played that entire clip. It's only still a segment of the overall message, but I'm glad you played that, and fair kudos to you for doing that. What I was saying very clearly was, I don't look out today, as most Christian pastors don't, and see right our enemy in the Western world is only the homosexuals, because I believe they are moved by a larger power.
Well, obviously your enemy isn't only the homosexual, but are you sure you want to say that? Only are the homosexuals your enemy at all?
I didn't say that they were. I mean, I made a...
You said you don't see that they're only your enemy.
Even in the clip that you played, there's a clear distinction where I am saying that there is a liberal elite. The church is at war. The church is always at war. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So we're not totally surprised to find that there are forces out there that don't like what the church stands for, have never liked what the church stands for, and will always, therefore, categorize it as being their enemy, and they will oppose it, and the church needs to stand firm today for the truth.
Reverend Brown, I think you just said that homosexuals are moved by a higher power. What is the higher power moving them? What is that?
I also defined and identified in the clip, and again in my conversation with you a moment or two ago, by the liberal left, the elitist guys.
You'll notice that I'm not rushing this morning because I want to give you time and space. What is the higher power that you believe is moving homosexuals?
I believe it's the overall power that wants to get rid of God from the public classroom. From the public forum, you can see that even in one of the little threads that came out of the Ishers case recently, it seemed to be that a Christian was able to adhere to his faith when he's at home or when he's in his church, but get outside of that limited sphere, and you cannot exercise your Christian principles.
So do you think,
and
for example...
That is where the battle is today.
Do you think, for example, Ian, people are pretending to be gay in order to do down Christians or weaken God? Is that what you think?
No, I'm not saying that at all. And let's even face the fact of the matter. In the Isher's case, and this is where the message developed out of, as we worked our way through the book of Habakkuk, looking for old-time solutions to modern problems, but still relevant, as I believe the Word of God is, to today's issues, to all of the issues today. But in the Isher's case, the point that they were making was, made by the Judge Brownlee, that Isher's had to know the sexual orientation, as she put it, of the customer who had ordered the cake. And she concluded that they had to know on one of a number of bases. And what she said was, now, it would only really be a homosexual person that would come in and order such a cake. Well, that's an absolute nonsense. Because, for example, down south in referendum on the weekend, we had 62% of the people who voted for gay marriage. Now, 62% of the population is not homosexual, no matter how you construe it. So therefore, there are those who will support their causes, who will push their rights, who are not themselves identifying as homosexual.
Okay.
That's the same point I'm making.
Okay. What is the church meant to do with this, as you call them, army of sodomites? What is the church meant to do, Reverend Brown? How many people are in your church, first of all?
In the regular congregation or on that Wednesday night?
No, in the regular. How many people? How many people go to Martyrs Memorial in a given year?
We have...
What's your membership?
About 150. Our membership would be larger than that, but many people can't be out.
Okay. So what is the church? What are you telling your church to do with the, as you describe them, the army of sodomites, the army of gay people? What are you advising them to do with those people?
Well, can I answer that by bowl just first of all, and then I'll get right on track. A lot of people imagine that if you come to an evangelical Christian church in this day and generation, you're going to likely hear a whole sermon against homosexuality. Now, if you were to look at my sermons, and they're up in sermon audio, so it's an open book, people can go check, you will see that over the course of a year, if I've preached homosexuality once, if I've done it twice, that's the limit. And whenever we talk about sin, probably most times I don't even mention the word homosexuality.
Okay, so I get that.
I specify other sins.
So I get that. But let's address this issue. What do you advise your church to do against the, as you describe them, army of sodomites? In other words, army of gay people.
Well, we're looking at a large-scale battle here. And the only way to win in the battle for a Christian is by love and by compassion, by sowing the seed of the Word of God, because that ultimately is the only thing that will change hearts. And when we came to the prayer meeting on that Wednesday night, we worked our way systematically through the book of Habakkuk. We weren't cherry-picking scripture. We were seeing a man in a situation in his day asking the question, why, Lord, are things happening in the way that they're happening? I don't expect them to happen this way. Things seem to be topsy-turvy. And we reckon that's where we are today.
And you're Ian Paisley's successor at the Martyrs Memorial Church. So let me understand a wee bit more about your deeper thinking. Do you think, Reverend Brown, that if you pray hard enough, that it would stop someone being gay?
I believe if a person opens their life to Holy Scripture, the Lord will, by his Holy Spirit, convince them as to what is the proper path before God, what honours God in this life, and what certainly doesn't.
But you understand the question. Do you believe through prayer, if you're asking people to pray for gay people, which is what you're asking them to do, do you believe that that prayer could turn them from gay to straight?
I believe that the prayers that are offered by the Lord's people are the key to the situation that we're in today.
But you're not answering that question. Now, please don't duck that question.
I'm not ducking the question.
Right, so let me repeat the question. Ian, let me repeat the question. Do you believe through the power of prayer that you can turn someone from being gay to straight?
Absolutely. I believe that prayer has resulted in multitudes of conversions. In fact, anybody that has been converted to Christ over the generations of time, I believe they can trace it back to prayer.
Okay.
Someone is praying for them.
And I'm not trying to trick you this morning. I'm trying to give you space so that in your words, we can find out what you stand for as the head of Martyrs Memorial Church. So we've established this morning that you believe that through prayer, you can change someone's sexuality. No.
You can change every kind of immorality.
Oh, okay.
Every kind.
Do you also...
Every kind of sinful activity can be changed through prayer.
Okay. Actually, do you also, Reverend Brown, do you also believe, like your predecessor, do you believe that homosexuality should be illegal?
I believe it's sin. And I know that that has been established.
That's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. Do you think it should be illegal? Gay sex. Do you think gay sex should be illegal?
I know you had Jim Allister on the programme some time ago when you were trying to pin him to the wall. And to be honest, that's a side issue. And this country...
I'm not trying to pin people to the wall. Look, you stand at a pulpit and you give sermons. And you're in your church, you're not challenged because you have the floor. So this morning, all I'm trying to do is, and it's, you know, to be fair to you, you've put yourself onto this programme. So I'm just trying to establish what you actually believe. Do you believe that gay sex should be illegal?
Again, we are being fixated on a particular aspect of a particular issue, and the issue has moved on. We're actually talking...
Some of your congregation might be disappointed that you won't answer that.
They may well be. And you will know as well as anybody else.
Your predecessor in the pulpit had a very strong position in this.
I've said it to you on your radio program before that I support it. The fact that homosexuality should have remained as the law had it in our country, it should have remained illegal.
Supported. Do you still support that position?
As an ideological position and a scriptural position, yes.
Okay.
Do I think it's going to happen again? Well, that's another issue entirely because the ballpark...
Okay. But I have one follow-up question. I've just one follow-up question and you'll understand this question. It was the reason I was asking the last one. Do you think that straight sex outside of marriage, because it is equally a sin,
You asked me that before when I was on your programme.
Do you think that should be illegal?
You know the question that you're not asking? The question you're not asking is, on the one side, I had mentioned about those that were sweeping in from the West, the states falling in terms of their legislation about same-sex marriage. I also talked actually more extensively in the message about ISIS. And you're not focusing on ISIS at all. Now, I wonder why that is, because I view ISIS as a more extreme threat, a threat that does not just require us standing and praying for mercy and grace. So it does that very much, but I believe our government should be doing something more effective against ISIS than what they are doing. And I'll tell you this, if ISIS gets into our country in the manner that they're threatening they're going to take Europe, then it will be bad news for everybody. That means straight people, it means homosexual people, it means everybody in our nation. And I think the focus should be on them. For example, there was a talk not that long ago, really, about Mosul being the most peaceful city upon the earth. And the next thing I read in news reports coming out of Iraq, that 13 young men were taken out onto the streets of Mosul, out of their houses, gunned to death because they dared to watch the Asian Cup where Iraq was playing Jordan in a football match. Doctors have been beheaded. If that particular ideology and brutality ever got a foothold here, our troubles that were absolutely dreadful would pale into insignificance by comparison. That's a real threat.
Okay. Reverend Brown, thank you for coming on the radio this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All the best.